All right. Welcome.
Hey guys.
We are seeing everybody shortly here. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody real quick because there's a lot of background noise. All right, Rachel, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So everybody is muted and we might have some more people logging in here shortly. I see some of you are trying to connect to your audio and get your video and everything situated. So we're going to go ahead and officially start for the very first Monday night call of our summer series, June 1st, 2020. I can't believe it's June already.
I don't know where the last 6 months went, but it's just like, it's also, it feels like kind of frozen in time.
Yes.
And backwards in time. It's the same. It's just the craziest last couple months in this last week. So I don't know what, but yeah, somehow it's June.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. it's June and it is now summer and it has felt like it. I don't know where everybody is logging in from. I know we have people from all across the nation with us tonight. But up here in North Dakota, it was like almost 90? It was hot today.
It was like 88 when you dropped me off at like 3 o'clock. And I think it got actually a little warmer towards the like 4 o'clock hour. So I don't know. It might've hit 90 or over.
Yeah.
But yeah. We go from cold to hot with like nothing really in the middle. It's crazy.
Yes, we definitely do. So I just have to pull up what I was going to talk about for a little bit here, just so I have my notes in front of me, because we have a topic tonight that can easily be a long-winded one. So we're just going to give you that warning. Okay. Krista says it was 99 in Fargo. Wow. And it felt like 101. Woof. So clearly she's in Fargo. So we're
at some point today anyway.
Yeah. So we're honestly just going to dive right on in. I know that we have people joining us that have never been on the call before. We have people that just registered today. And this will be your first experience either being on the call live or listening to the replay. And originally, when we planned this a week ago, we kind of went into it with the idea of talking about this quote that I posted today, which was scheduled last week sometime. It was scheduled to go out today on our Rhema team Instagram. And it was something that I figured out the other day was that, and by figuring it out, it wasn't that I never thought of this before, but it just became really real, that nobody is going to hold me accountable to a certain goal in my life except for me. So I had to get to the point where I'm doing this for me now. And that was kind of what we had planned. Like, we're going to kind of talk about that when we come back from having a break from our Monday night call. And then life happened, as it often does in the world. And now we are sitting on this fork in the road of, are we going to embrace the opportunity to look at things differently, to hear the cries that are happening all around us, or are we going to stick our head in the sand and ignore it? And that's what some people are doing. And we want to talk tonight about this idea that maybe with all of the riots and the protesting that is happening in the world because of the unjust murder of George Floyd, maybe you're having a hard time knowing what to say right now. And so we kind of wanted to just talk about that along with the idea of how do you keep yourself accountable and how do you find your voice in the midst of all of this. And I want to say before I hand this over to Rachel that this is not just a women's issue. This is a human issue. This is something that women maybe identify with a little bit more because we know what it's like to not be heard, to have to fight so hard for rights. But I think when we're on this journey of finding our voice, which a lot of people are, a lot of our clients are on a journey of finding their voice, whether it's finding their confidence, finding their place as a leader, finding their place as a business owner, and figuring out what to do with that. And how do they get clear on their message? How do they make sure their message is heard? I think the hardest part about that is learning that and being okay with the fact that people are not going to agree with you. And sometimes the people closest to you, your family members, your friends, they might see things differently and disagree with you. They might even scold you a bit and wonder why you're speaking up. Why can't you just be quiet? Why can't you just keep living life the way you've been living it? And we're here to tell you that that's going to happen. Like, expect it. It's going to happen. It's part of the process of growing through this and finding your voice. But also, if you want to be bold and you want to lead yourself and other people with integrity, then you've got to be okay with it. You have to fight through being uncomfortable about it. And if you want to speak up about injustice, if you want to even simply just create something different in your life, you're going to have to be okay with this. Mistakes are going to be made. It's going to happen. You're going to make mistakes. Even when you know what you're doing, you're still going to make mistakes. People are going to be disappointed in you. And guess what? You're going to be disappointed in people. But at the end of the day, the only person that you can hold accountable to this message, or the only person that can hold you accountable to the message that is burning inside of you, is you. And when it really comes down to it, there is no easy path to rising up, to speaking boldly about issues that prick your heart and compel you to speak up and bring about change. There's no easy path to going through painful parts without feeling them. Because as I think it was John Green, the author of the book, The Fault in Our Stars, he said it so beautifully when he said, pain demands to be felt. And it's true. And there is a price to pay for the change that you want to create in this world. There's a price to pay for finding your voice, to being a leader. And that cost of leadership is pride. It's ego. It is indifference and even ignorance. And if you're willing to look in the mirror and acknowledge that those things exist in you, then you're willing to be a leader. Like, you're ready to take the first step towards that. So tonight we want to talk about what we can do, what we can do with this uncomfortable feeling of not knowing what to say, of this uncomfortable feeling of not really, maybe we don't even really understand what's happening or why it's a big deal to the Black community, why it's a big deal for white people and people that don't understand it to lean in and listen and even stand up and be a voice when we see this injustice, because it is a humanity thing. It's not a religious thing as far as whether or not you're saved. It's not a do we have the same faith thing. It is a human thing. And I have cried more over watching what has happened than I have ever in the past, because it's just wrong. There's something so wrong about it. So we wanted to have a passionate conversation between Rachel and I, but also we want to hear your comments in the comment feed tonight. But more than anything, we want to be able to give you some action steps of how you can grow from this, how you can create change within your own life, within your own community, within your own thought process, within your own home. So Rachel, I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to you.
Sounds good. All right, you guys. So one of the things that I want to kind of piggyback on before we even get into some of the specifics on action steps and things you can do literally right now, today, tonight, after you get off of this phone call or even the replay if you're listening to it later, is this idea of what do you do when you have a goal and you all of a sudden realize that nobody's going to keep you accountable to it. Mandy and I were actually talking about it in the car today, because that's kind of our job as coaches, is to keep you guys accountable to the goals that you want to accomplish in your life. But even your coach can't be there 24 hours of the day. We cannot be the people that are constantly emailing you, texting you, reminding you of the goal that you set in January or set whenever. It's, you need to have coaches and mentors and things in your life. But when it comes right down to it, you're the only person who's going to figure out whether or not that goal was worth keeping, because it's so easy to just be like, nobody will know if I don't do this anymore. Nobody will know if I just decide that the conviction I had when all of the emotion was happening is still going to be important to me when the emotion has settled down or we've started to forget about it. Because this happens really frequently in any time that there is any kind of racial injustice, where all of a sudden people rise up in anger and then it's kind of left to the Black community to keep carrying the flag, to keep educating people on, you know, what anti-racism looks like and all of that stuff. And so it was about a year ago, and I do not remember which person it was. I think it was a string, kind of like what's been happening over this last month, where a lot of Black people ended up murdered by police officers in a lot of weird, uncommon situations. And I decided that it was important for me to understand what it was that anti-racism looked like, because we like to think that as white people, we understand it, and we do not understand it. And we tend to say really dumb things and act like we're the saviors of all colors if we don't know what we're talking about. It could have been Ferguson, Andy. I kind of feel like it was probably about that time. But I think it was just a lot of things happening again all at once. And nobody knew that. I didn't tell anybody that was my goal, was to start listening to more Black voices and understanding what really what I wanted to learn was what micro-racism was, because oftentimes in this culture and this time that we live in, we don't see racism necessarily like front and center, because most people know what that looks like and will call it out for what it is. What we usually have is this called microaggression or micro-racism, where we have this bias towards certain things. And oftentimes it's just towards silence and just choosing to see what we want to see. So the first thing I did was I started following women of color who were already doing anti-racism work. And I honestly had to unfollow one of them and follow her probably three or four different times in a 1 month time span, because what she was saying was so hard for me to hear that I had to kind of like mute her voice for a minute so I could kind of chew on why it was hard for me to hear, why I had this bias, and kind of, you know, move through the emotion of all of that. Because it's one thing to say that you want to say something or do something. It's another to actually start peeling the layers back and sticking with a goal when it gets hard. And you guys that are on the call that have worked with a coach, that have done any kind of work when it, any kind of goal, whether it's a health goal or it's anti-racism, you guys, this stuff sucks most of the time, because it takes off layers of things that we've been conditioned to believe, limits that we put on ourselves, and all of that. And so that was the first thing I did, because I knew if I made a conscious effort to make sure that my social media feeds, especially Instagram and Twitter, were more people of color, I mean all people of color, not just Black people. So that's one thing you should probably know right away. If you are using the term people of color, you need to mean all people of color, meaning non-white. If you mean Black, you need to say Black. It feels weird to say it, but you need to say it that way. But what I did is I made sure I was following all people of color, including, you know, making sure that I had people that were Black and brown and all the different beautiful shades that God made in my thing. I also made sure that I was following people that were just marginalized in general. So that looked like following anybody in the LGBTQ community, and starting to make sure that my feed, people with disabilities was the other one, that my feed didn't look like me. And that I took really, really seriously. It was the easiest way to ease into this. But it really made everything front and center. And for me, that's been the only way I've ever accomplished a goal, if I care about it, it's written on a piece of paper right at my desk or right on my fridge or right where I can see it in the morning. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, 30 days of saying a true statement or it's wanting to learn how to help in the anti-racism movement. Goals are accomplished when you put them in front of you. When you start to have the mindset that, like Mandy said, I'm the only person that's going to keep me accountable to this. Nobody else is going to make me do this. Nobody else is going to make me accomplish this goal. So there's a couple of people that I would recommend to start with. Mandy can correct me if we're wrong, but I would think we could probably put this in the email when we send out the, when we send out the, replay, you guys, we'll make sure that this list is in there and also the things that Mandy is going to mention as well. Because we want you guys to be educated. We want you guys to know where to look as, white people, especially if you're on this call listening to me and you are a white person wanting to learn from a person of color. The first place I would recommend, let me bring up my notes right now. And this one honestly is a new one for me. And it's on Instagram. I am not sure if they have a Facebook page. But Instagram for me has been the best teacher of micro-racism and what to do to help, because I think it's because it's the photos. So you see people of color in your feed all the time, and you just start to get like more used to the dialogue, more used to what is expected, more used to how white women should respond to black women who are teaching. And so the first one I would say is From Privilege to Progress. They are doing a ton of work right now connecting you with funds. Like if you want to put your money where your mouth is and you want to donate to some cause, but you're not sure which one, because it's kind of hard to just, you know, where do you put the money so that it's going to the right causes and the right people. From Privilege to Progress is a great one. And the one that I first started with, her name is Rachel Cargill, C-A-R-G-L-E. She is the one that I did have to mute every so often because she is very, very poignant in how she talks about her anti-racism work. And she does not apologize for it, and she should not need to. But I'm going to put that disclaimer on there that she was the one that I had a hard time with, because I want you to know that from a person that has done this before, what she's going to say is going to rub you the wrong way. And I beg you to lean into it, even if it means you got to mute for a little bit and challenge why what she's saying is bothering you. And she just launched a program called The Great Unlearn. It sounds very similar to like what we do in Leadership University, because there are different levels price points that you can jump in at. And the lowest one is for $5. And I'm not even sure what the highest one is. And it's really kind of like a course in kind of reteaching some of the things that we might have learned in school on history and Black history. And she created this entire curriculum based on everything she's been doing over the last however many years that she's been teaching anti-racism work. And so that would definitely be one if you're looking for something more, you know, like coaching based or, you know, more like curriculum based. That would be a great one to start. There is an Instagram account called Black Coffee with White Friends. Black Coffee with White Friends. They're one of my favorites because they really do a lot of dialogue, and it's also a book club. So there's a lot of healthy dialogue around the books that they're reading for that. Now it is Black Coffee with White Friends. And then the second or the last two I want to give you guys are actual people to follow, but they're also authors. And if you follow anybody on Instagram right now that's speaking out about this, you've probably heard these two names or these two books at some point. I know right now, almost both of these books, I think, are sold out just about everywhere, but I know they're available on Kindle. They're available on Audible. And the first one is Austin Channing Brown. Austin Channing Brown. And she's the author of I'm Still Here. I'm Still Here, Black Dignity in a World Made for Whiteness. Austin Channing Brown. And the second one is Layla Saad. S-O-D is how you pronounce it, like Saad, but it's spelled S-A-A-D. And she has a podcast called Good Ancestors Podcast. And I started listening to it a couple days ago because she's new for me. And it was fascinating, even just the podcast that came out yesterday on colonialism and the clothing trade. And it was just fascinating, you guys. So even just relearning some of the things that she's teaching on her podcast would be a great way to start. But she wrote the book, Me and White Supremacy, which is a book you're going to hear a lot if you're following people that are doing anti-racism work right now, to go back to. Me and White Supremacy is her book. And so those are five different areas for you to start. If you want to start with just one, which I understand that starting with just one, I would say From Privilege to Progress, or Black Coffee with White Friends, because they both give a very great, they give great material for you to be able to pick up other books you might want to other books you might want to read, or podcasts you might want to listen to, and places to donate or to help, or, you know, if you want to get involved in any other way. They're both great Instagram accounts to start with.
I really want to talk about, Rachel, this whole idea of it being uncomfortable, because I think that's where a lot of people are right now. We're uncomfortable about a lot of things if we don't understand it, or we've never experienced it. Maybe not even not understanding it, but when our experience is different than somebody else's experience, it's uncomfortable to figure out what to do with their pain. And if we're friends on Facebook, guys, you've seen me post this today, but two additional resources that I've been listening to, and I haven't even made it through all of one of them yet, but I would highly recommend looking into, would be over the weekend, there were two white pastors that had conversations with Black pastors. And I have enjoyed hearing from all four of these speakers over the last several years. And the way that they spoke about the reality of what's happening and the reality of the division that is caused between people when we don't admit what the Black community is going through, or when we don't speak up about this type of an injustice that's happening and call it for what it is. When you see somebody murdered, no matter what color they are, that's horrible. But to see it happening so many times and so frequently to one race is really disheartening. And these two resources would be, the first one is, it's called Become the Bridge, is the title of the episode. And it's by Elevation Church with Stephen Furtick and John Gray. I wept as I listened to this, and I've listened to it twice now, because the conversation they have is so poignant and so spot on. And the things that Stephen Furtick says about his role as a leader of a diverse, culturally diverse, racially diverse, all kinds of diversity happening in his churches, and how his role as a leader is to not just say, I've got your back, but to actually show up and lean in and be okay with listening to the pain, and realizing that he has a voice in the matter, that he can be an advocate and an ally for the people that are telling him, this is what we experience, even though he hasn't experienced it. It's worth listening to. The other one is by Hillsong Church, New York City. And I realize these are churches, so even though you might be listening to this and you're thinking, but I don't like churches, I wouldn't step foot in a church, I don't even like religion or have a faith, go into it just listening for a conversation, because they do not necessarily preach in these. They really don't. It's a conversation. In fact, this one of Hillsong Church, New York City, with Carl Lentz and Bishop T.D. Jakes. At one point, Bishop T.D. Jakes says, this is not about being washed in the blood. This is about being human. And we need to pay attention to that. That's the one I haven't made it through. That one is about 1 hour and 45 minutes long. But the thing that we need to realize is the only way that we grow is by being uncomfortable. And I appreciate how you said, Rachel, that you, you had to mute somebody for a while because the way that they said it just hit you the wrong way, and you had to kind of chew on why that was. And I think that's what we all have to do. Like, we have to be willing as leaders, no matter what topic it is, when a topic rubs us the wrong way, we have to be willing to ask ourselves, why is that? Mm-hmm. Why do I feel so much emotion, whether it's a strong emotion of sadness over what's happening, a strong emotion of wanting to speak up and say this is wrong, or a strong emotion of disagreeing with what is said? Like, we need to be willing to ask ourselves, why is that?
Yeah. And I think I know actually the first time I had to be like, I'm not sure I'm liking what I hear. And it was on the subject of reparations. And it is not my job either. I know this now as a white woman, is not my job to teach you Black history. You need to learn from other Black people. But I know that was the concept that I was like, I'm not sure I understand this, and it's really rubbing me the wrong way. And I want to just be like, nope, I disagree. And the second that your body wants to say, nope, I disagree, you need to lean into that. Cause usually it's touching on something. It's touching on a nerve. Mm-hmm. It's touching on something that we've thought to be true for a long time, or believed to be true, or whatever. And yeah, that was the first time that I was like, because everything else, it seemed like, oh yeah, well, I can get behind that, and I can get behind this, and I can, you know, learn how to, you know, be a part of the conversation, but not insert myself into the conversation. But that was the first concept of anti-racism work that I was like, gosh, I have to chew on that for a while and see what I think about that and how I feel about that and why I reacted the way that I did. So.
Well, and anytime you have that feeling, it's pride and ego. Your pride and your ego does not want you to grow. It wants you to stay comfortable in your perfectly crafted little world of you know everything and they're wrong. But newsflash, you're not them. You don't have their experiences, just like they don't have your experiences. And if we expect people to respect us and to listen to our story and try to learn from our perspective, it's a two-way street. Like, we have to be willing to do that. And it's such a touchy topic because there are some churches that don't want to say anything because they don't want to rock the boat, or I don't even want to presume to know what their reasoning is. But instead, they just kind of fluff over it with a Band-Aid. And ooh, that irks me. I have seen that. I have seen some posts this week over the last 2 days on social media of faith-based organizations and even people that are upset about what's happening when riots are happening in the streets. And I get that. I don't agree with riots either. However, if I put aside my own opinion and try to think about how I would feel if I was them, all of a sudden I can think, okay, well, you know what? If I was that angry because something kept happening and we weren't being heard, I'm not sure I wouldn't do something that I would maybe regret later. In fact, I saw something the other day, and right now, you guys, what we're seeing on social media, we have to look at with the lens of, okay, that's one person's perspective, or also not really sure what the true story is, and we have to be willing to do our own research, okay? Because there's a lot of things that are being posted right now that are manipulating us, that are maybe not 100% the truth. It's only one side of the story. And I saw this post the other day, and I need to do some more research myself. But if this is true, it really makes you think about something. I saw a post of a friend of mine who said she was really really amazed at some of the stories she was hearing of business owners in Minneapolis whose businesses had been vandalized. And when you dug a little bit deeper, some of them were saying, listen, don't be mad that my business got vandalized. They didn't do it. I did. Because the point they were trying to make is that things can be replaced, but a life never can. So you guys, we might not agree with the way that their pain is coming out right now, but the fact of the matter is when they've been victimized and unheard for so long, pain demands to be felt. And there are symbolic things happening all around us that we might never, ever understand because we don't have that experience. But our job is not to sit here and defend our experience. Our job is to be willing to lean in and listen to the pain and figure out what do we need to learn so we stop contributing to the problem. We don't even necessarily need to be the solution. We just need to stop being part of the problem in ways that we're not even aware of because we're ignorant to what they're going through. That's really what our role is here, is to educate ourselves on how are we unintentionally adding to the problem because we don't want to be uncomfortable. That right there, that's a weighty thought.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it though, because I think a lot of us don't say anything because we think it's too big of a problem to solve. And it's too big, like, what is one little voice going to do? And I know Carlene put in the comment section about going and seeing the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis and how moving and jarring that was. And I remember being down in Selma in Alabama and walking through that town and walking over the bridge and walking that, I think it's 70 miles was or 30 miles, something like that, from wherever the march started to where the march ended, and driving that highway and walking across that bridge where, you know, there were so many people that were killed, and then, you know, they were pushed off the bridge and then attacked by dogs. It was like terrible, terrible stuff. But you guys, you can still feel it in the air. It is still so heavy. And when you think about civil rights, you guys, it's not over. It would, if it was over, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. Like, it's great we have museums for it, but you guys, we're still in the fight for it, because clearly we're still in the fight for civil rights, because until everybody is free, there is no civil rights, there is no justice, there is no peace. And yeah, I think it's okay that we just start talking to other people who look like us. If we're white, we talk to other white people and starting conversations that matter, starting conversations that are uncomfortable, starting a conversation that somebody could disagree with you or vehemently disagree with you, that could have been a friend, could have been a family member. That's part of the work we're called to do. Like, we're not called to figure out how to solve, you know, hundreds of years of racial injustice. Like, honestly, as a white person, the best thing we can do is understand our rights to vote, understand the candidates that we're fighting or that we're voting for, understand on a local level what it takes to do police reform, what kind of leadership needs to be in place so that people start having accountability to laws that are not on the books yet when it comes to police brutality. Something that I just learned this week is there is no actual database of officers who have been involved in these kinds of incidences and have either been fired. Most of the time they're fired. If this happens, they're very rarely charged with anything. I think it's 3% of cops who have been involved with murdering somebody or killing somebody have actually been charged with it, which is astounding when you think of that. If we just all started killing people, there would be a much higher percentage than 3% of us having some kind of charge. But anyway, there is no database for cops who have any kind of things on their records, which we saw this with the cop in Minneapolis. This was not his first instance. This is just his first instance where somebody was killed. But he's got a lot of things on his record. And that's one of the things that they're calling for reform on, that there needs to be a database. They shouldn't just be able to quit or get fired from one precinct and then move to a new town and do the exact same thing in a new precinct. And it reminds me of what happened in the Catholic Church when there was the big, huge shakeup that started with the Me Too movement, that these priests were just allowed to go to what, you know, they did something terrible in one parish and they were just allowed to be moved to a new parish. This is happening with cops, you guys. So some of this is just educating on Yeah, Annie says, like, a sex offender list. Yeah, we have a sex offender list. We have domestic violence lists. We have all kinds of things, you guys. And a lot of these cops, if you want to talk domestic violence, a lot of them have that on their records as well. You guys, it's very scary when you start thinking about it. And one of the best things we can do is get educated on who's running for office and what, where do they stand when it comes to racial issues? Where do they stand when it comes to police brutality and the consequences that need to be in place? Because our votes, thankfully, in this country still matter. And a lot of times as white evangelical Christians, which technically from a lot of us probably on this video, even just right now in the feed, if you're listening to this later, it might not be you, but as I can see who's listening to this right now, we tend to not vote because we think it doesn't matter. Or like the majority is already voting, so we don't need to. That's not how you create change. And so for me, I've spent a lot of time, because we've got some major elections coming up, you guys, make the phone calls. It is really simple to find out what a candidate is and where they stand on these kinds of issues, especially right now. People are talking about it. And if you haven't seen the candidate that you want to vote for give an opinion on this yet, you need to call and find out, or email and find out, where do they stand on police brutality? Where do they stand on these issues, so that we can vote accordingly, because that is our right and our privilege as United States citizens. We all have that still. So, you know, that, and because it is an election year, that is something that we can do without having to even, you know, have a race conversation with our friends or our family members if we're intimidated by that, or putting something out on social media. We're not expecting you guys that don't have platforms on social media, have not been given, you know, that is not what you do. You don't need to go and start, you know, beating down doors on Facebook, trying to convince all of your friends that racism is bad. Like, you can if you want to, but that's not the only way to do this. And yeah, that's definitely something that I'm taking very seriously this year, because I think even 4 years ago, I wasn't doing the anti-racism learning and processing that I was doing back then, and why it matters so much.
Mm-hmm. So I think when it really comes down to it, I think the thing to really close on tonight is, if you're feeling any feeling of uncomfortableness with what's happening in the world, give yourself permission to dig and ask yourself why. What is it about this issue or this, or what that person said about this that rubs me the wrong way? And where does it come from? And do I like that it's there? Because if you like that it's there and you're happy with who you are, then nothing we say is going to change that. Like, if you are happy with where you're at in life, then you're happy with where you're at in life. But if you're not, and you're wondering why you think that way or why you feel that way, and why can't it be different? The reason it can't be different is because you haven't given yourself permission to lean into the uncomfortable process of changing it. That's it. Like, the only person standing in your way is you. Because we can't change the entire system, but we can start to change our own thoughts. We can question why we feel this way. We can question, I mean, if we hear about these things, or we see these stories and we see the videos and we watch somebody dying and we realize this is not a fictional video that I'm watching, this is happening in real life. Why is it not making me upset? Why is it not making me cry? Why am I able to just close my eyes and move on? Like, if that's something you're noticing, ask yourself, why is that? And if you're okay with it. And if you're not, then it's time to start moving into, like, okay, what do I need to confront inside myself? What do I need to change in me? Like, when we see these issues happening in the world, our first response should be, what needs to change in me so I stop contributing to the problem that I didn't even know I was contributing to? Because I've been asking myself that a lot. And some of you in our Leadership University heard my story this morning that I shared in Leadership University for the Monday morning video. Like, you heard how I realized, oh gosh, that action is unintentionally possibly adding to the problem and I didn't even realize it. And so we have to be willing to ask that of ourselves, because it's the only way that we're going to get ourselves into that position to start learning, to start leaning into these resources that Rachel and I shared tonight. Because that's the only way that we can become more familiar with what it's like to live in somebody else's shoes. And that's the only way that we're going to become more empathetic and more compassionate and discover how to find our voice on issues of injustice. And what do we want to do with it from there? Like Rachel said, we don't all have to decide to rise up and post stuff on Facebook or say the things, but we do have to decide, what are we going to stand for? That's with anything in life. That doesn't even have to be just for like injustice or these hot button topics, but just in life, what are we going to stand for? And if we're going to stand for that, what does that look like? What does that mean? Who do we have to become to live that out? That's really what elevating your personal leadership means. So I think that's how we're going to leave this tonight. There's no next step of joining us in university or anything like that, because this call tonight is about checking your own heart and figuring out what you need to do to stop contributing to the problem and start finding your voice for whatever that is. Maybe this particular topic didn't hit your heart the same as it hit some of ours, but that doesn't mean that you're not finding your voice somehow with something. Because at the end of the day, finding your voice is a very personal journey for all of us. And we're going to mess it up along the way. I have so many times. And you have to be okay with that. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and unmute everybody. We have gone way over our time. So I'm going to unmute everybody so we can say goodnight. And we will be with you next week.
Yes. I don't think we have a clue what the topic is going to be. You guys will probably just ride it out and see. So thanks for sticking with us.
It's great to see you guys. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. When you get the replay of this, please share it. It's an easy way for you to help other people grow in their own journeys.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good night, you guys.
Bye. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.